It is an important drasha saran that the Rosh Hashiva is very fond of quoting, so maybe you've heard it from him already. But it's at the end of Parshas Baloischa, or at least the topic that it's talking about is the end of Parshas Baloischa, when Aaron and Miriam complain about Moshe. Everybody knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was without peer, without parallel of any of the Nevi'im in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu said his nevuah baspaklaria hameira. Moshe Rabbeinu was pal pal daber boy. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was without parallel because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Yonah Mikol Adam. He had no ego, and therefore there was nothing that the nevuah had to sort of permeate and go through. It was clear glass. To the extent that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu yells at Aaron and Miriam and says that how could you have any criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was perished from his wife? Moshe Rabbeinu is not like you. Moshe Rabbeinu is not like any other Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu is in a league by himself. Yet, it's very interesting that later on in that parsha, so there's a pasuk that sort of says that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam all have nevuah on the same level. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem pisoim el Moshe v'el Aaron v'el Miriam." Hashem says suddenly to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, "Tzu shlashtachem el mayed v'yatzu shlashtam." So how is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to say in the coming pesukim that no one has nevuah on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is in a league by himself. And yet, it says over here that Hashem spoke to Aaron and Miriam and Moshe all at the same time, all on the same level, pisayim, immediately, suddenly. So what happened? But does it say that that he spoke together with somebody else at the same time? What he's medayik from over here is that it all together, Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, they all had the same nevuah right there at the time. No one went to sleep. No one was, you know, was dreaming. It was all the same. So the Ran says, apparently what you see is over here, is that because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was there, the other two had the same level of nevuah as he did. Sometimes it's not the madriga that you yourself are personally at, but if you're in the presence of greatness, if you're in the presence of a Moshe Rabbeinu, then that can take you up to levels that individually you would never have achieved. And for some people, it's just a concept that maybe someday you aspire to. For other people, it's an experience. That sometimes you realize that if you're in the presence of somebody great, if you're in the presence of many people who are great, if you're part of a tzibur, so it can schlep you up to a level that you never realize you are capable of. And that's the message of the Drasha Saran. It's also a message that if you go through the beginning of this week's parsha, so and do it right, so you become somewhat sensitive to. Parshas Devarim, Chumash Devarim, called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is a review of stories, of principles, of ideals in Yiddishkeit, messages for the future, and also good, hard Musar. Musar about the Meraglim, Musar about the Cheta Egel, Musar about the Adas Kairach, Musar, Musar, Musar. We go through the Parsha, actually. The first episode that's talked about in Devarim purely is the Maisa with Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Har Sinai, Torah tells us, Hashem Aleikenu Dibur Aleinu B'chayiruv Leima Rav Lechem Sheves Baharazeh told Klal Yisrael that it's time to move on from Har Sinai, and Klal Yisrael does move on from Har Sinai, and the story goes that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there the whole day and he's answering everybody's shailas and etc. and so forth, until Moshe Rabbeinu says, Echa Esel Levadi Tarchachem U'Masachem Rivchem, how is it that I'm going to be able to carry you by myself, your tircha, your weight, and all of your fights? And Yisroi gives him the etza that, you know, you should have help. Every year when we lay this, Echa us esalvadi torchachem masachem rivchem, so we lay it, and we lay it in the tone of Echa, which always gives you a sense that, number one, you're remembering that Tisha B'Av is going to be another 2 days' time or 1 day's time, right? But also that there's a tragedy going on over here. That the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is bemoaning the fact that Klal Yisrael is such a tircha, such a weight, and such a bunch of fighters, it's a tragedy. So what's the tragedy? So Rashi tells us, Tarchonim, bunch of nudniks, like Rabbi Shurkin said at the Shabbaton, they're apikursim, roignim, however you're going to translate that, fighters, complainers, bali lashon hara. But Lemaisa, there's a more basic tragedy. And the more basic tragedy over here, if you think about it, is the story itself. Because Yisroel did a great thing. Yisroel gave Moshe Rabbeinu the ability to survive. But what fell in the process? What fell in the process was is that not everybody got to ask their shailos to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that, in a certain way, as we'll soon see, was a very, very big tragedy. Yesterday I had a conversation with one of my kids. To me was on one hand a little disturbing, but on the other hand encouraging, because at least, you know, people are being honest. But one of my kids said, you know, how come on Tisha B'Av everybody is walking around and, you know, with forced sadness, the way you put it, forced sadness, you're walking around, you can't smile, you can't say hello, it's all phony, it's all fake. So I said, why do you say? He says, because listen, you know, what are you sad about? Lost the Beis HaMikdash so long ago, you never saw the Beis HaMikdash. No one is real about that. It's a good question. Good question asked every year. But I said, but why does that mean that it has to be fake? We had an interesting incident. Work that I do with the alumni organization with Ner Michael. So one of the things that we did recently, the Rosh Shiva was going to say the kinnis on Tisha B'Av. So we sent out a brochure, email blast, telling everybody about it and that they can tune in, live web hookup, you know, whatever. People from all over the world tune in, listen to the Rosh Shiva. So they had a graphic for it, you know, a beautiful brochure, and they had two pictures. One of the Kaisel in the background, and the other one, you know, one of those pictures of the Beis HaMikdash, like you would have in the back of, you know, your fancy chumash over here. And the secretary from New York made a good call, and she said, you know, I like the one about the Kaisel, but take out the one about the Beis HaMikdash. Why did I say it was a good point? Because if you want to be honest about what you're really sad about on Tisha B'Av, I think that we connect a lot more with the Kaisel than we do with the old pictures of the Beis HaMikdash that we never saw. And that's really what you're sad about. Who can say that the first time that they went to the Kaisel that they didn't feel something? You may not be able to put your finger on it, but you know that there's something here, we're missing something. You don't feel something when you do that, and of course you will. So read some books about the Holocaust. That doesn't work for you? Pick out 4 or 5 biographies of Gedolei Yisrael who were nifter pretty recently. Don't read the whole book. Read the last 3 chapters about when they reached their prime and about when they got sick and when they, you know, in the hospital and their Patira and their Levaya. To me, I always think that's what you said about Tisha B'Av. Anytime you lost something, anytime you lost the opportunity for Kedusha, you had Shechina, you lost it, that's what Tisha B'Av is all about. So it's not forced sadness, it doesn't have to be forced sadness. It just means getting in touch with what you lost. And that's why we say Echa Esel Levadi Tarchachem Umasachem Rivchem. Because Klal Yisrael, because of the whole Maisa of Yisrael, they lost the opportunity to have a stronger Shaychus with Moshe Rabbeinu. You'll ask, but they couldn't. It's not possible. How could one person dan on a couple million people? It's not possible. Yes, but no. I saw a great vart last week in the Masois, in Masse. So it says there that when they got to Rephidim, so it says that they didn't have water to drink. Right? Rav Moshe asked a question that you left out the main part of the story. They didn't have water to drink, so what happened? Bear Miriam. And this happened, then they got water to drink. So why didn't include that in the story? So Rav Moshe says a chiddush, but a strong vart. He says, no, the main story was they didn't have water, and 40 years later they're still alive. But that could have happened in two ways. Number one, you get miraculous water. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you don't need to drink anymore. What would have been a bigger nes? You don't need to drink anymore. In the Midbar, anything is possible. 2 million people asking Moshe Rabbeinu Shailas? Why not? In the Midbar, anything is possible. There doesn't have to be a concept of time. There doesn't have to be a concept of space. Anything is possible. And that's the Eicha. The Eicha is the loss of the relationship that everybody could have had with Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody has their own Eicha. Everybody has the things that they've lost. In Jewish history, so then you have the Klal Yisdikah things, but everybody has their own personal tragedies. It's kedai before Tisha B'Av to spend a couple of minutes, a couple of hours thinking about, you know, what tragedies have I had in my life? What losses have I had? Real losses. I'll just leave off with something that always hits home with me. When I was a kid, from the time that I was 9 till about 20, we went to a particular camp in the mountains, Camp Tarvadas, Olei HaShalom. Doesn't exist anymore. Now it's Camp Carlinstall. And when my kids were still young and the family was small enough that we still went back to America from time to time. So we were there in the summer once. I made sure to drive up with all of them, you know, to show them Camp Tarvadas, Camp Carlinstall. So why am I telling you this story? Because Camp Tarvadas closed because, you know, they're in $750,000 of debt and the people who owned it and couldn't shoulder it anymore. And so it closed. But I found out from a nephew of the last director of the camp that for years afterwards, his father and another person who's a very famous Jewish singer used to go up to the camp on Tisha B'Av afternoon, and they used to go into the shul and sit on the floor and cry. So anybody who wasn't there looks, okay, fine, you know, what a bunch of sentimental kooks. But the truth of the matter is that if it was just sentiment, if it was just emotionalism, they never would have done it. 40-year-old men don't do such things. But anybody who had the experience of being in a yeshiva, in a camp where people grew, and you know that it's not there anymore, it connects with you. There's a histalkus hashchina. Heard firsthand from somebody who never had a yeshiva somewhere, and he had to close the yeshiva for various reasons. And he told me that he remembers the experience of when he closed the door for the last time, of going back to his car by himself and putting his head down on the steering wheel and just bawling. Everybody has those experiences in a microcosm. Things that they lost, opportunities they lost. Oh, if I could have done better on this, if I lost that opportunity. In a personal sense, that's what Tisha B'Av is about, and that's what we should be looking for. Of course, we have to mourn for the Siluk Shechina from Klal Yisrael. and all the things that we've lost. And when we feel the vacuum, so then that's the biggest impetus to building it back. But that's Eicha, and that's Tisha B'Av. Bez Hashem, there shouldn't be a Tisha B'Av this year. Well, Tisha B'Av is Shabbos, but there shouldn't be, you know, a commemoration on the 10th. We should be Zecha to Binyan Beis HaMikdash before that. But if Hashem Yirachim, so we do sit on the floor. So at least this is a perspective of realizing that which we're missing, realizing what the vacuum is, realizing that there is a reason for everybody to shed tears, or at least to be down and to be sad in a very real way, that it's not forced. And Be'ezras Hashem, it's that feeling of sadness, of feeling the loss, that makes us Zeche V'Roye B'Binyona, that will be Zeche to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira V'Yameinu. Amen. Good Shabbos.